inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks so much for joining me today. We're actually going to pick up where we left off, a week ago? Constitution Day was a little more than a week ago on the 17th. Had a great party out at the Patriot Academy campus. Just an incredible, incredible time. And we started off with Constitution Alive. I shared with you, the first week of Constitution Alive. We got through most of it. And the whole point was, if we're going to celebrate Constitution Day, if we're going to celebrate the Constitution itself, maybe we ought to study the Constitution. Maybe we ought to study the principles that made this the greatest Constitution that the world has ever known. And so that's why I've been sharing some of these courses with you. If you have not been through one of our Constitution classes, please visit patriotacademy.com. They're free. You can sign up to be one of our Constitution hosts or coaches for free. You can host a class right there in your living room or at your church, wherever you want to go with the class and bring people in. And I promise you, it's rewarding. It's a fantastic way, not just to celebrate the Constitution, but to just become good citizens, to become good stewards of what God has given us. So I really encourage you to do that. Patriotacademy.com. Go take one of our free courses. You can do Constitution Alive, which is one we listened to a little bit last week, and I'm going to be playing a little bit today. And then you can also take Biblical Citizenship in Modern America. That's the newer class that you can actually, it's fantastic for your church. We've had thousands of these classes happen all over the nation in all kinds of churches and different places. So that's the most popular one. But it also includes some of the material from Constitution Alive, which I recorded in Independence Hall and out at David Barton's amazing museum. And so you get a little bit of all of that in Biblical Citizenship. But anyway, just go take one of the classes. I don't care which one. Even close your eyes and hit click and take one of them. I promise you, you'll have a great time. You'll learn a lot. It'll equip you. It'll inspire you. You'll be a better citizen as a result of it. And so we're just giving you a taste of it today. It's much more fun to do the class with friends, family, people from your church, your community. Just something about getting together and going through those things, talking about them together. I know a lot of people, sometimes I could do a class like this at home by themselves on the computer. If that's the only way you're going to do it, fine, do it that way. But I'm just telling you, you will enjoy it much more if you do it with some friends and family. Because the interaction, the iron sharpening iron, sharpening each other's countenance like that, it's biblical and it's powerful. It's incredibly powerful. All right, so we're gonna jump right back in. And by the way, last week it was Constitution Day, Tuesday of last week, and we did some of Constitution Live. Yesterday was actually Bill of Rights Day. And so this is the perfect time to be doing that. So today we're going to jump right back in. I'm just going to pick up where we left off last Tuesday. If you missed that, it's on our website right now. So just go check that out today. And you can, at the core, we've got all the programs for the last few weeks right there on the website. So you can go listen to last Tuesday's program if you want to get the beginning of this Constitutional Live episode. And what we're listening to is the first week of Constitutional Live. We call it our purpose and approach. It's essentially the overview. So we talk about why we're studying the Constitution. We talk about the foundation of the Constitution. We get into the meat of each article and each amendment in later weeks. And I may share some of that here on At the Core in the coming weeks. But for now, it's important to get the foundation, to get an understanding of why we're doing what we're doing. So let's jump right back in where we left off before. By the way, I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. At the Core is a program that Walker Wildman and I do together. So if you're normally listening in the afternoons on a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, you usually hear Walker. If you're listening Tuesday, Thursday, you usually hear me. Sometimes we do the program together. But I hope that you'll share the program with friends and family as well. It's really important to be a force multiplier and help other people get educated about this as well. All right, we're going to jump in. Here's Constitution Alive, picking up where we left off last week.
One life to give for my country. One life to give. He accomplished more in that moment than he ever could have with all that intelligence he was bringing back, because those words would be repeated over and over again among the American ranks. They would encourage those that were thinking about not re-upping to re-up and stay in. They encouraged others to get in and fight. And for generations, we've used those words to inspire generations to be willing to give of themselves for others, sometimes to pay the ultimate price in sacrifice. One life to give. We all have, but one life to give, don't we? That's all we get. The question is, for what will we give our one life. We're blessed in America that every generation, it seems, there's enough that are willing to be involved, to participate, to sacrifice. Not just give their life on the battlefield, which is huge, of course, but also to live their life and live out the freedom that the others paid for. And as I think back to these guys in this room, to Nathan Hale and those throughout the Revolutionary period, fast forward to even now, guys like Michael Murphy, the Navy SEAL that received the Medal of Honor after giving his life, and so many of these guys. And really, when you look back over America's history, you think about all of those that sacrificed, the millions that served, 1.2 million that gave it all, that gave their one life for you, for me, for us to be able to enjoy this room tonight. You know, the good book says that there's no greater love that any man has than that he lay down his life for his friends, for, in this case, for his country. And those that serve in our military and in our first responders and on the front lines here in America as well, they are willing to give their one life for us. And I think about that book that James Bradley wrote about his dad, The Flags of Our Fathers, from Iwo Jima. My wife, her grandfather, got a Purple Heart at Iwo Jima. And it really struck me when he talked about that makeshift monument there at Iwo Jima. It said, when you go home, tell them for us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today. We gave our one life so you could be free. I don't know about you, but I've always struggled with how to honor those that came before me. I've always struggled with how to obey the biblical command that says, render honor unto whom honor is due. But I think those that sacrifice and that give of themselves for us, they deserve our honor. But I've always wondered how. When I meet a veteran, I always say, thank you for your service. But it seems so empty. It seems like I'm not. I mean, what? How do I honor that they were willing to give their life for me? And I had kind of an epiphany moment, if you will, when I was sitting in a movie theater several years ago. You might have saw the movie. You remember the movie Saving Private Ryan? How many of y'all saw that movie, Saving Private Ryan? You remember the storyline, right? This kid has lost all his brothers. He's 19 years old. His brothers have all been killed in action. The Army figures this out. They want to get him out of the theater and get him home. This was the policy after the Sullivan brothers, the actual true story. And so they're trying to get him home to his family as the last surviving son, but they can't find him. And so Tom Hanks' character is a guy named Captain Miller, and his job is to get in there with his team, find Private Ryan, 19-year-old Ryan, and get him home to his family. And so the movie, throughout the movie, these guys on Captain Miller's team keep getting knocked off. They're giving their lives. They're sacrificing their lives for this one kid, Private Ryan. And so throughout the movie, you keep seeing all these guys sacrifice their lives. And then at the end of the movie, Captain Miller finds Private Ryan. They're just about to get him out, and Captain Miller gets shot. He dies. But just before he dies, he grabs this kid, this 19-year-old that they had all given their lives for. He pulls him in real close. And he said two words, not just to Private Ryan, I think to every one of us in this room, all of you at home watching. He said, earn this. Earn this. They had given their lives for him, and they're saying to him, earn the freedom that we've sacrificed for. And only as Hollywood can do it, they morphed from that young 19-year-old Private Ryan to 50 or 60 years later, an elderly Private Ryan has come back, and he's visiting the grave of Captain Miller. And I remember him kneeling down, and he said to Captain Miller, he said, tell me I've lived a good life. Tell me I've lived a life worthy of the sacrifice that you made for me. Earn this. I think it's time for us to earn the freedom. Some of you that have joined me tonight, you put your lives on the line. You sacrificed for my freedom. You were willing to give your life. Many that are at home watching, willing to do that. We want to earn the freedom that we've been given. How do we do that? I think Abraham Lincoln probably said it better than anybody. He said, it is from these honored dead that we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. He's saying the way we honor those that came before us is we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. The cause that started right here in this room. The cause of liberty, the cause of freedom. We increase our devotion to that cause. That's how we honor what they did for us. And that's why we're here tonight. We're here to honor them and to say, look, they gave their one life for us. What can we do? What can we as citizens do? How do we give our lives, live our lives, if you will, in a way that honors the sacrifice that came before us? Well, we start right here by saying, what was it that these guys put together? What was this secret sauce, this formula that made our nation so free and so successful? And then what's our job? What can we do to help preserve it for future generations?
I don't want you to leave this class saying, oh, that was kind of neat. You know, we got to come in and see where it all began, or, you know, we learned some stories about the founders we didn't know, and then go home and forget about it. I don't want anybody watching these DVDs and just saying, okay, that was kind of neat. We did that in our living room, our Sunday school class, or wherever we watched it, and then go home. No, no. My prayer is that you guys and ladies leave tonight, that those watching at home and those on the webinar tonight, that when this is over, you have a burden. I want you to have a sense of responsibility, that it is up to you to preserve this freedom for the next generation. In fact, I'm going to make a statement to you that you may think is a little bit overblown. My wife would probably say it's cheesy. She calls me the king of Elvita sometimes. She just thinks I'm cheesy sometimes. But I think it's absolutely true. It's this. The fate of the free world depends on you. Fate of the free world depends on you. Now, you might say, all right, that's, you know, you're exaggerating. That's overblown. How many of you would agree the fate of the free world depends on America? Would you agree with me on that? How many of you understand that the fate of America depends upon her constitutional principles being upheld and preserved and protected? And how many would agree that the fate of her constitutional principles being upheld and preserved and protected depends upon the first three words of the Constitution, which is what? We the people. So if the fate of the free world depends on America, if America depends upon our constitutional principles, if our constitutional principles depend upon we the people, then friends, the fate of the free world depends on you. And so we're here to challenge ourselves, to dig deep into that these documents, to say, okay, what's my job? What do I go do as a citizen to preserve freedom? And I tell you, I'm seeing more of this than I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I've been doing this for 15 years, but I've never seen the level of activity in our nation. I've never seen so many people coming out to say, hey, I want to learn about the founding fathers. I want to know what freedom's all about. I want to know what the Constitution said. How many of you seen all these bumper stickers? How many driven by a car seen a bumper sticker said, read the Constitution? Anybody seen one of those? Okay, a guy like me, I see that bumper sticker, I'm honking. Okay, I'm sorry. I get excited when I see that. But we've all said that for years. Read the Constitution. Everybody needs to read the Constitution. But we don't usually do it. Most people never actually pick it up. I didn't. I went through law school and was a legislator. I didn't read through the Constitution back then. In fact, I'll tell you what really got me fired up about actually studying the founding documents. I was sitting in my Capitol office back in Austin, Texas, back when I was a legislator. And I'm sitting in my office and I'm reading this poll. And the poll says, it was a Texas poll. So if you're not from Texas, you don't have to feel bad about this poll. But I'm betting your numbers in your state weren't even better, any better. Here's what the poll said. Poll said that half of Texans, half could not name one freedom out of the First Amendment. Not even one. There's five there that we love, we hold dear, we cherish, we'd fight for, we'd die for. Half of Texans couldn't even name one of them. 95% could not name two of the five. I was appalled. Then I tried to name them. Then it was me. I couldn't name them. And I thought, wow, I'm a legislator. I'm a lawyer. I'm a political junkie, man. I live, breathe, and eat this stuff. I'm doing it all. And I couldn't name them. I thought, what a shame. If I don't know what my freedoms are, if I don't know where they are, how am I going to defend it? How am I going to teach my kids these things if I don't know them myself? So that actually spurred a piece of legislation I did back then called the Celebrate Freedom Week. And what it did, we actually numbered it to House Bill 1776. I just love saying that in this room. I don't know why. I had to stand in line to be able to get that number for the bill. So House Bill 1776. And what it did was it said every kid in Texas has to spend time studying these guys, studying the Declaration and the Constitution, studying the men that gave them, studying the ideas that went behind them, and studying our military, and studying the sacrifices made. And we're not going to just gloss over it once in 5th or 11th grade and forget about it. We're going to teach it every single year so that we can pound it into the minds of our young people, so we can put it in their hearts and their souls so that they'll appreciate the freedom they've been given and they'll be able to defend and protect it for future generations. So we passed that bill, and now we've got several other states that have passed it. We've got an effort happening all across the nation. If you're at home tonight watching on the webinar, you're watching this DVD, go to my website at rickgreen.com and click on Celebrate Freedom Week and pull up the page there, and it'll tell you what's happening in your state. You can click on your state and it'll tell you the action steps you can take to help make this happen in your home state. It's a great way to make sure every kid's studying these wonderful documents that came out of this room right here. Can you imagine how much better our country would be if every kid in America was studying the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution? I mean, just imagine every single year. I hope you'll help us make it happen. Be sure and take that down as one of your action steps, hopefully, after this class.
All right, folks, got to take a quick break. You're listening to Constitution Alive on At The Core. So you're listening to a recording of the course, Constitution Alive, here on At The Core with Waka Wildman and Rick Green.
At The Core podcasts are available at AFR.net.
Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me today. We're diving into Constitutional Live because Constitutional Live is the course that will give you a good foundation on understanding where you've been planted, how to be a good citizen here in the nation where you live, how to tend the garden where we've been planted, how to rebuild the walls in the book of Nehemiah for us, for our society, for our particular generation. And so it's a fantastic opportunity for each and every one of us to learn that role and to do better at fulfilling that role, to be good stewards of what God has given us. So I'm just going to jump right back in to where we left off right before the break. This is Constitutional Live with David Barton and Rick Green. It's the first week of the full course, and it's an opportunity, again, to get a foundation. So this first part, we're not actually jumping into the article and the amendments yet. That's later in the class. Right now, we're just getting the foundation. So let's jump back in where we left off with Constitutional Live.
Let me just first say, folks, I'm no guru, okay? I am so blessed to get to work with some guys I think are gurus, guys like Ed Meese and David Barton and other guys like that, Matt Staver. I get to learn at their feet. And all I'm doing is I'm here with you as a fellow citizen. We're going to sharpen each other's countenance tonight. We're going to help each other open these documents and study them. So we'll have questions all night. Feel free to ask questions. We'll probably do them at the end of each section. You're going to stump me before the night's over, and it'll be fun, all right? Let's just have a good time together learning to be better citizens. And the other thing about the class, we're not an exhaustive study. This is not a year-long program. In fact, the best analogy I know to think of, how many of you ever bought a computer or a monitor or a big TV or something, and it came with a quick start guide? you know the nice glossy thing you could flip out just because, you know, something like this where, hey, I just want to know where to plug everything in, right? I just want to get this thing working. I don't want to read the big thick manual that came with it. I'm never going to read it. I want the quick start guide so I can make this thing work. That's what we're doing tonight. We're going to do the quick start guide to the Constitution. Why? So that we as citizens can get plugged in, so we can make sure the pieces of our government are properly plugged in and working correctly, and so that we can make corrections on it if we need it. If you look at my books back here, these are all the things that I'm trying to study to be able to do the quick start guide. So these are the big manuals and everything. I'm trying, and you guys can help me distill this thing down to where citizens all over the country. Now, you guys you've traveled here from all over the nation, so you love this, right? I mean, you're willing to read the big thick manuals, and many of you probably already have. But most people back home aren't going to do it, are they? I mean, how many times have you tried to get people to study the Constitution? And even if you just give them a pocket Constitution, they never open it. What we've got to do is we've got to put some tools in their hands that they can quickly access how this country works, and they can quickly access how to be a part of it. So remember our goal. It's to identify our rights and then know how to protect and preserve them, how to properly do that. So that's our approach number one. Approach number two is we're not going to focus on judicial interpretation. We're going to focus on original intent. There's another analogy for this one. My mom actually gave this one to me. She was a bank teller when she was younger. And she said, as a bank teller, I went through all this training and I handled all this money. And she said, Rick, they never gave me a counterfeit bill. They never showed me a counterfeit so I could feel it and know what it felt like. She said, no, what they did was they had me handle the real deal, the genuine article, so much so that when that counterfeit bill came through my fingers, I knew something's not right. Because I had worked with the genuine article so much, I recognized the counterfeit immediately. Same thing for us. We're going to study the real deal. We're going to study the Constitution itself. We're going to study the founders and what they said and did and how they acted when they were putting the Constitution in place. We're going to study the actual words of our founding documents, not on what some judge says that he thinks or she thinks that they meant. I think that's what's gotten us off course, as we've allowed judge after judge to pontificate on what some other judge said about what some other judge said about what some other, and we've gotten so far off course. And we got, you know, you think about the freedom of religion now. We got so many tests on what the freedom of religion is, or when you violate that, or when the Establishment Clause is violated. I mean, Sandra Day O'Connor had her 3-part test, then her 4-part test, and her 5-part. I mean, everybody's got all their tests, right? And it's just confusing. Why? Because we've gotten away from studying the original itself and what the founders did. So our goal is original intent. Let me give you a couple of quotes from the founders on this. They said, on every question of construction, carry ourselves back to the time when the Constitution was adopted. And how about back to the room? I don't usually get to say that in a class. Let's carry ourselves back to the time. Here we are in the actual room where the Constitution was adopted. Recollect the spirit manifested in the debate. So what these guys were actually saying right here when they adopted the Constitution. And instead of trying what meaning may be squeezed out of the text or invented against it, in other words, instead of taking the words and, oh, well, today that word means X, Y, and Z, so this must be what the founders meant, or trying to invent some meaning into the Constitution to try to get an outcome on the judicial decision. Instead of doing that, Jefferson says we should go back to the time, study what these guys were actually saying, and he said then conform to the probable one in which it was passed. So these guys are going to speak to us tonight. They're going to tell us what they actually said about these different areas of the Constitution so that we can follow Jefferson's suggestion there. And then Madison, of course, the father of the Constitution, we'll hear a lot from him tonight. He said, I entirely concur in the propriety of resorting to the sense in which the Constitution was accepted and ratified by the nation. So in other words, you're going to figure out what it says. He says you go back to what these guys said when they adopted it and then what happened in those individual states when they had their ratification debates. In that sense alone, it is the legitimate Constitution. So you want the legitimate Constitution, you go back to the beginning what these guys did. If that be not the guide, so if you go the other direction, if that be not the guide in expounding it, there can be no security for a consistent and stable Constitution more than for a faithful exercise of its power. So what do you get? Instead of having a stable Constitution and a clear understanding that stays true throughout time, and if you don't like it, you use Article 5 and you amend it. But instead of having that stable Constitution, what do we get? Three-part test on this, a four-part test on this, total confusion about what is or is not constitutional. Madison said, come back to the original if you really want to know. He said, what a metamorphosis would be produced in the code of law if all its ancient phraseology were to be taken in the modern sense. So when we think about phrases like general welfare, what did it mean back then? What did it mean in this room? Not what does it mean to us today, not what does it mean when a politician tells us what it means. What did it mean to these guys? We're going to talk about that too. The first in governing, this is James Wilson, by the way. Now this guy, he was in the room both times. He signed both the Declaration and the Constitution. He actually went on to be a Supreme Court Justice, one of the first guys George Washington nominated to serve on the Supreme Court. So he's actually an original Supreme Court Justice. He said, the first and governing maxim in the interpretation of a statute is to discover the meaning of those who made it. Well, who made the Constitution? Guys that were in this room, right? The ones that ratified it back home. Those are the ones we got to, if you will, kind of crack open their heads, get inside their mind, figure out what they were thinking, what was the intent. And the last guy I'll give you on this is Joseph Story, Supreme Court Justice that wrote about 94% of the opinions when he's on the court. He's actually called the father of American jurisprudence. He said, the first and fundamental rule in the interpretation of all documents is to construe them according to the sense of the terms of the intentions of the parties. These are the parties, folks. We're here. Welcome to the party. We're here with the parties that actually gave us the documents, and we're going to hear from these guys and find out the original intent, not judicial interpretation. So, number one, it's not exhausted. Number two, we're going to use original intent, not judicial interpretation. Third thing in terms of our approach is we're going to do something that we don't normally get to do with the Constitution. We're going to take it as amended. Those of you that have studied it a lot, you probably had some of those frustrating days like I did. When I first tried to study the Constitution, I opened up my pocket Constitution and I said, you know, first thing I was curious about, I said, I want to know about this Electoral College. I want to know where this school is in the Northeast that all candidates go to. I was hoping for a little laughter there. No laughter. Can we dub in some laughter there, camera guys? Okay. A lot of people really think that. They think the Electoral College is some campus over, you know, out here in the Northeast that all the candidates come to. No, it's the way we elect the president. So I said, I want to figure out how this thing works. I was always confused by it. So open up Article 2. Start reading about the presidency. Three paragraphs in, guess what? This has been amended by the 12th Amendment. And what's your pocket Constitution do? It just underlines what's been changed, but it doesn't tell you what's been changed. So you got to flip over to the 12th Amendment and try to look at both of them and figure out, okay, what actually changed? What does it mean? And then three paragraphs into the 12th Amendment, this has been amended by the 20th Amendment. So I got Article 2 open, I got the 12th Amendment open, I got the 20th open, and I'm having trouble holding on to my pocket Constitution. And guess what? Article 2 is also amended by the 22nd and the 23rd and the 25th Amendments. So I got five amendments affecting Article 2, and I'm supposed to... I just went crazy. I am so thankful for my buddy Mike Haller. Mike put this thing together. He did meticulous work to put together this Constitution Made Easy, the tool we're going to use tonight. And I know you're going to, as the night goes on, you're going to think this green guy is really simple-minded, because I am. I need things to be explained. Okay, so Mike really helped me with this, and he laid out the Constitution as amended. What a novel concept. So the tool in your hands tonight, what you're going to be able to do is flip that thing open, and on the left-hand side of the page, we get the original. Because I'm an originalist, I'm not for replacing that language, but we get the original on the left-hand side of the page, and then on the right-hand side of the page, we get the Constitution as amended. So the blue is all the amendments incorporated into the original, and it's in modern language. So that's the fourth thing we get is some plain language that makes it easy for people that haven't made a big study out of this to actually go and read through the Constitution very quickly. And part of what I love about that Constitution Made Easy is you can actually sit down and read the blue part, the plain language, in about 15 minutes. So people that have never been exposed before, you can hand that to them and say, hey, just sit down and read the Constitution. Just read through it real quick, and you'll find some things you never even knew were in there. You're going to be able to clarify some things you may not have been aware of before. So that's our approach. That's how we're going to do this. We got a lot to cover in a short period of time, and you'll find people say that David and I both, we talk about 90 words a minute. We've gussed up to about 350. I'm gonna try not to gust on up to 350 too often with our echo chamber here. I'll do my best to keep the speed down, but we've got a lot of time together, and we're going to cover as much as we possibly can. So that's sort of our introduction to the process and what we're going to do, a little bit about our approach. We're going to talk about the seeds that were planted here, what the concepts were, because, you know, I find it interesting that if you just read the documents and you don't really go back to the philosophy that undergirds them, the philosophy that was put in place, you can get off track very quickly. So we'll be back to talk about the seeds of liberty when we return. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Have you noticed how many freedom-loving, hard-working Americans believe that America's best days are behind us? Have you felt that way? I know it's been a question discussed around our dinner table, and I'll admit that in many important ways, the American culture is crumbling. What started as just cracks in the foundation, in fact, the strongest national foundation in history, but those cracks were ignored for decades while the poison of Marxism and critical race theory were poured into the minds of the nation's youth, and now it's spilled out into the streets, and it seems like every major institution in the country, from the press to education to corporate America, even too often the pulpit, has given way to the revisionist. They bought the lies about this nation. What was once the wealthiest, most powerful, most free, most benevolent nation the world has ever known, indeed America was the envy of the world, well, that has now become a place where we've allowed our school children to be taught to hate their own nation, to hate each other, and even hate themselves. The results have been devastating, but I, for one, do not believe that is the end of the American story. You see, the principles of liberty, that's not what failed us. Our leaders failed us, and we sat on the sidelines watching it happen. But now there's this awakening that is happening all across the nation, from sea to shining sea. Patriots of every age, income, religion, race, all over the country, they are ready to do their part to restore the American Constitution, to restore the timeless principles of liberty upon which America was founded. Most patriots know something needs to be done, and they're willing to help. They just don't know what to do. Well, we here at Patriot Academy, we know what to do, and we're doing it. More importantly, we're raising up a new generation of patriots to do it. While some look at the rubble right now and they choose to give up, we at Patriot Academy, we look at that rubble and we choose to rebuild. From Constitution coaches in every community across America, to teaching candidates to run for local office, to raising up young leaders steeped in constitutional and biblical values, Patriot Academy is equipping citizens to do their part in restoring America. The Patriot Academy campus, strategically placed in the heart of Texas, is ground zero for a new birth of freedom so the government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. Arriving at the Patriot Academy campus, you will first be greeted by a mock-up of the Lexington Green. That's where it all began on April 19, 1775. And every visitor to the campus will meet Pastor Jonas Clark, Captain John Parker, and citizen soldier Levi Preston. In those three statues, we will be reminded that no matter what walk of life we come from, each of us has a pivotal role to play in preserving and passing the torch of freedom. Constitution coaches from across the nation will be able to come to our campus and learn and get their training in an exact replica of Independence Hall, the cradle of liberty, the very place where both the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence were created. Our Center for Constitutional Defense will be housed in a mock-up of Monticello. providing both intellectual and physical training for defending the Bill of Rights with rapid response media to impact the debate on a national scale. We provide on-site housing for visitors and patriots attending our weekend trainings, as well as a rich campus life for young leaders chosen for our one-year leadership intensive. These 18 to 25-year-olds will build a strong foundation in leadership skills, constitutional grounding, and biblical worldview. Patriot Academy gives them a challenging, inspiring, and iron-sharpening iron-type environment to discover their passion, plan their purpose, and learn how to effectively execute that plan in whatever area of the culture God has called them. And we teach them how to be active, biblical citizens for the rest of their lives. With the American story woven throughout every part of the campus, Patriot Academy will continue our tradition of bringing history to life through entertaining, educational, practical application. Even the Welcome Center will give visitors the chance to experience all the rich history found in the rotunda of the United States Capitol. While the mock legislative chambers will give students of all ages the opportunity to see and live the inner workings of our constitutional republic. This is the hour that our generation gets to stand guard at the watchtower of freedom. The time is now to make the investment of purpose, of time and resources necessary to preserve the torch of freedom and pass her intact to the next generation. If you know in your heart that you want to be part of the solution, part of the rebuilding, then visit PatriotAcademy.com today to learn more.
Man, that was pretty good. Who was that guy? No, I actually forgot that was inserted into Constitutional Live. Clearly, that's a more recent recording just about what we're doing at the Patriot Academy campus that is now played in the Constitutional Live videos when people take the course. But it sounded good, so I left it in there for you to be able to hear it. I don't know that you've ever heard that. If you want to see the actual video of that, you can go to patriotacademy.com today to learn more. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump right back into Constitutional Live. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with us today in our final segment of today's program. We will jump back into Constitutional Live and finish off that first week of Constitutional Live. So we got a piece of this last week for Constitution Day, which was the 17th of September. And then yesterday was Bill of Rights Day. So, you know, what better to do today than to finish off that first week of Constitutional Live. Again, you can get the full course at patriotacademy.com. We're going to jump right back in where we left off before the break. This is Constitutional Live.
I don't know if you could tell there, David, I was a little excited to be in that cradle of liberty.
Such
in
a
that
cool place
room.
To be. Yeah.
And you've recorded
cool
there
place.
Several times. It's just
it's
something
cool
about
place.
Being where it happened.
And it's, you know, I always love looking back at George Washington's chair and yeah. that, you know, was it the rising sun or the setting sun on that chair? And I'm like, boy, you know, Franklin, that's such a cool story with yeah. it, but it's cool to be in that room.
I love it. So one of the things we talked about a lot, and we'll talk about a lot more throughout this course, is original intent.
Right.
Now, you wrote an entire book on this, a best-selling book on original intent, where you took all these documents in this room and really shared with us what was inside the minds mm-hmm. of our founding fathers. Why is it so important to get that original intent?
Because that's where you get the most effectiveness. It's really hard to use a screwdriver as a shovel because it was not designed for that. So you can work all day long with a screwdriver not dig something out. You have to know original intent, have to know how it's designed. It's like using the owner's manual. If you want the most out of your car, your TV, anything else,
now, you have to saying people would misuse the Constitution
and
for
not.
Something it wasn't intended to be used for.
You know how we talked at the beginning about human nature and principles, yeah. and that's why the Constitution works, because it's based on certain principles. One of those principles is human nature, and absolutely it can be, and we'll cover this in future lessons, but that's why we have checks and balances and separation of powers, and the Founding Fathers told us about human nature, and because of that, they put principles in there to keep people from taking and abusing this. It won't stop it if we don't apply those principles,
yeah.
but they gave us some tools by which we can stop some
I like
abuse.
That analogy, because now, not just original intent, but original intended use.
And intended
that's a good
use.
Way to
that's
think of it.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And one of the things that this kind of a good example that you talked about, if we don't do that right then, you're talking about how we get off track, and yeah. you're exactly right. Here's a great example. This is one of the best-selling books in American history. It's one of the McGuffey readers. They came out in 1830s and 40s and went through 120 million copies to this date. So, I mean, they have sold like crazy. So here is a fourth-grade reader, And I just open up here to lesson number 9, death at the toilet. Wait a minute.
I'm not even, I have no idea.
Yeah. Why would they use such crude bathroom humor back in that day? Because back in that day, toilet is where we get the word toiletries, which is like your shaving stuff and your hair stuff. And well, toilet was really your vanity table, and that's why we call it vanity. So death at the toilet is death at the vanity table. And it deals with a young girl who was really cocky and pride and arrogant about how beautiful she was, and it turned into her demise.
Wow.
Well, we look at death at the toilet and say, I can't believe that you're such crude humor. No, you have to go back to understand what they were trying to do. Now, once we understand that, the principle's the same, the arrogance and the cockiness and the kind of stuff that they talk about with that girl. But it's not death at the toilet, it's death at the vanity table. Her vanity is what destroyed her. So that's the kind of stuff that still works, and it does have an impact. And that's why you want to go back and know original intent. Now, we'll just go back where we started at the beginning with John Jay. These are the 6 things that we want every single citizen to be able to do. When you read and study the Constitution, number 1 is read the Constitution. Doesn't take 20 minutes. It's an easy thing to do. Number 2 is study the Constitution. Once you've read it, you kind of get the overview. Now go back and look at the things in it and start making the list.
And that's where we really are getting into the minds of the founders.
Right.
We're studying what those words actually mean,
we
not
are.
Just reading them.
And as we go through these next lessons, these other lessons, we're going to be studying what that meant and what they and why they put that there and why that clause is there and what are they trying to do. So
is that why we all of these books are important, not just the words of the Constitution, but when you pull a book off the shelf that is someone that one of these guys in this picture that helped give us the document, it gives you a chance to really find out what they were thinking when they did it.
And it helps with the tone of the times. If you understand, you know, people accuse the pilgrims all the time of being so bloodthirsty because they had the death penalty. So they did. They had 15 crimes that had the death penalty. But let's set the tone of the time. When they came to America from Great Britain, the country they left had the death penalty for over 230 crimes. So they've taken it from 230 death penalty crimes down to 15. I don't think they're bloodthirsty.
So that puts it in context.
Puts it in context.
If you just look at it by itself, you could get way off. But if you step back and see the big picture.
And that is the thing. You can get fixated on a particular issue and you see so much of the trees, you miss the forest.
Yeah.
And that's why you read it to see the forest. Now let's go back and study some of the trees that are in the forest. And that's the second part. Third part is to be able to teach it. Once you see what's in there, teach it, especially the rising generation. But in this culture, with our poor education
system, all of us.
Teach all of us.
Yeah.
Teach. I love, there's a Bible verse in Song of Solomon 8:13 that says, your friends, listen to your voice. So speak. Exactly. They're in this day and time, with what we have with social media, there's nobody who doesn't have a platform.
That's a good point.
There are people who will listen to you. There are people who will hear what you say on Facebook, doing it on Twitter, whatever you got. Speak.
Might be 5 people, might be 5,000, but all of us have
whatever
some folks
you got,
we can influence.
You talk to your friends,
and
that makes a difference. Then what you want to be able to do is know those constitutional rights. Now that you've read and studied and you started teaching them, you now recognize when somebody has crossed the line. Wait a minute, he can't do that. That's not constitutional. And then at that point, you can defend those rights if they're coming after you, or if they're coming after somebody else, you can assert those rights.
Yeah.
So you stand up, and those are the 6 things that everybody needs to be able to do with the Constitution.
So you can't have that perception. You won't know that those rights have been violated if you haven't done these first steps first.
Right.
You got to study them and know.
See, I mean, you talked in there about how your mom, when they trained her as a bank teller, they didn't show her counterfeit stuff. They just let her handle the real stuff so much that she instantly recognized it. And we did the same thing in World War II. If you wanted to be able to recognize the enemy, you studied those enemy identification charts. So you studied all the enemy planes, all the enemy tanks. So when you saw it, you that's the enemy. Now we can defend and assert ourselves. We're going on offense.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you didn't get one of the Allied tanks. You know, you didn't want one of the British tanks. So you studied. And once you studied, you could recognize when there was something wrong.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes.
Well, as we study, you know, sometimes people today, I mean, if we're not doing a good job of this in our schools, then that means we need more tools. We've got to have the tools to be able to study.
And by the way, just so nobody gets intimidated over this thing, studying the Constitution and understanding it is not a hard deal. This notion that we get from law school is that only the 9 people in the Supreme Court really know what the Constitution
is. These high priests of the law.
I have been in several legislatures where it just tears me up. Legislators say, look, let's just go ahead and pass it and the Supreme Court will tell us whether it's constitutional or not.
Yeah.
No. You took an oath to uphold it, and you don't have to be a brainchild to do this. And a great example of that is this little book right here. This is a book, an elementary book back in 1828, and elementary kids study this
they're teaching the Constitution to elementary kids.
You don't wait till you get to law school. You don't wait till it's postgraduate stuff. And the kind of stuff that they were having these elementary kids study, the questions they asked.
1828. So we're going all the way back. Though
pull out some of the elementary questions.
Okay, so these are
now
questions.
You're an attorney.
These are, yeah.
You were a legislator.
Now what if I can't answer it? This is going to be bad, which I'm probably not going to be able to. So these are elementary school kids, and they're asking them, can the Congress punish piracy? That is robbery committed at sea, because we have some of that today. So this is actually a good question for today. You know, you got the Somali pirates, that whole movie about the Captain
Phillips. That's international law. So can we in America do anything to punish other nations under our Constitution?
Yeah. How many people? I don't know the answer to that question off the top of my head. So what does the Elementary Catechism say? Yes. And all other crimes committed there, it can also punish offenses against the laws of nations. So there's another question. In fact, that's the next question. What do you mean by the law of nations? This is great. So this is done in a catechism way where you ask one question,
kids.
It raises the next question.
That's right. And that's elementary kids. And I bet if you sit down in a law school and take third-year law students that are about to take their bar exam and run those questions through, they won't have...
It talks about mark and reprisal, all of these
and
things.
Nobody knows what that is anymore. And that actually is a very current thing that still goes on because it deals with restitution. It's a form of restitution. So there's a lot in there that's applicable. So do not get intimidated saying, I'm not that smart. You don't have to be smart. The founding fathers, remember, these were average guys. They were farmers. They were shipbuilders. They were, one of these guys was was a shoeshine guy. He made leather shoes, and kept shoes. They're common folks, and they did this for the common, average, everyday
person. So if they could do it, we can do it today.
They can do
it. And if kids of yesterday, in 1820, kids could do it. So it was intended as an elementary catechism, but we need it for all of us today.
Absolutely.
Well, that's the whole idea of Constitution Alive. So when we come back, we're going to actually talk about the seeds of liberty. We're going to dive into some of these materials and talk about what was planted to give us such a successful formula here on Constitution Alive with David Barton and Rick Green.
Well, all right, folks, that's the end of Constitution Alive. It's actually week one. It's the end of week one. It's not the end of the course. So you just got a taste of it today and last week during Constitution Day. So again, Constitution Day last week, yesterday, Bill of Rights Day. So we're getting you a crash course in these things so that each and every one of us can be better citizens. Take the full class at patriotacademy.com. patriotacademy.com and become one of our Constitution coaches. It's free to sign up as a Constitution host. You don't have to know anything about the Constitution, history, government, any of those things. It's a chance to learn those things with your friends and family and people from your church and other citizens that are just trying to do a better job, be better stewards of what we've been given. The reason we're entering tough times right now is because we got soft, we got weak. The good times made us weak, and we stopped doing the homework, stopped working hard to preserve liberty, and now we're seeing that liberty be lost. It's not complicated. It makes sense. It's the laws of nature and nature's God at work. And so it's our job now to recognize that and start doing the hard work, start doing the heavy lifting to basically get rid of the tough times and bring back the good times. So you can be a part of that by being a Constitution host or a coach. Go to patriotacademy.com today and find out more. I want to close out today by telling you about one of our Constitution coaches, an amazing young lady from New Braunfels, Texas. She's just been through the ringer. I'm telling you, amazing story. I'm going to actually share an interview with her next week. I kind of wanted to do it today while it's fresh in the news, but I wanted to finish up Constitution Live. So we'll save that for the interview with Joey Lynn Massaros for next Tuesday. She is the one. You've probably seen her on the news. She was on Charlie Kirk the other day and a bunch of other programs. But she's one of our folks, man. She's just a patriot that got involved. First time in her life to ever be politically involved. She was in the Trump train that was going down the highway, waving flags in the lanes next to the Biden bus back in 2020 in San Marcos, Texas. And the Biden-Harris people, none of the Biden-Harris were not even on the bus, but their campaign teams and the Democrat machine lied over and over and over again about what these Trump train folks had done, claimed that they tried to run them off the road and did all this crazy stuff, none of which happened. And all the evidence proved that. But the problem was that they used the lawfare to try and destroy Joey Lynn's life along with all the other defendants. And most of the defendants caved. They settled. They, you know, signed statements saying they did things they didn't even actually do, signed all kinds of stuff. And I think some of them might have even paid fines. The city of San Marcos spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, if I remember right, you know, doing sensitivity training for their officers because they didn't take care of the situation. I mean, it's just, it was crazy, the things that happened as a result of this. And it was pure lawfare. It was intimidation. It was the Democrat machine. Joe Biden did all kinds of speeches saying that Joey Lynn and her friends were the beginning of the insurrection, because this was October of 2020. So it was just two or three months before January 6th and all the stuff that happened at the Capitol. So needless to say, you can imagine for a young couple, they have one son. He's a her husband's a plumber. She was, you know, literally like not even homeschooling. She's going to, the kid goes to public school. They weren't even that involved in politics. And it turned their life upside down. They had to start trying to raise money to defend themselves. She started really digging in. She had no idea what free speech was. She literally did not know what free speech was. And so as this started happening, she started doing homework, and she ended up finding us at Patriot Academy. And we started teaching her about free speech and the history of that, and why it's important to not give in to these threats and intimidation that silence people from being involved. And so she had more backbone. I'm telling you, this gal has enough backbone to make a freight train take a dirt road. And she fought back, and she came over and did. Back then I was doing, this was 4 years ago, or three and a half years ago when we got involved with her. I was doing my show that we just called Front Porch Live. And it was, you know, I'd for a long time during the whole COVID insanity and craziness after the 2020 election and everything, I did this essentially just a live conversation about what the Constitution says and history says about the insane events that were happening in our nation. And I do it from my front porch. And once in a while I would have a guest on. Well, she had tracked us down and asked to come on and tell her story and see if people would donate to her legal fund. And initially I didn't want to do it because I wasn't sure. I didn't know our story. I wasn't sure if they actually did try to run this bus off the road. I mean, I was skeptical. She came over, we did that show, and Kara and I sat there in tears going, we want to help this young lady. She has stepped out to exercise her constitutional rights and is having the boot of government put on her in a way that is, it's hard for you to imagine unless you've been sued and threatened and all the lawfare against you. You just don't know what the pain is like. You don't know what the pressure is like. And she was going through all that. Well, anyway, we raised her, I don't know, $10,000 or $15,000 that first night that she came on the show. And then we got her on Flashpoint. She raised a bunch more. And eventually she was able to raise enough, several hundred thousand dollars, enough to fight back. And 3.5 years later, finally gets her day in court. And I'm telling you, the lawfare and the manipulation and the absolute lack of justice, the horrible judge in this case, which he's been horrible in other cases as well. He's a terrible judge out of Austin, Texas. So he's an ultra liberal. And anyway, just made their life miserable. And at every turn, a normal person would have given in and quit. She did not. And just 2 days ago, Joey Lynn Massaros won this lawsuit. She proved that Joe Biden lied. She proved that Kamala Harris lied. She proved that this Democrat machine lied about her and her husband and what they did, and was completely exonerated, believe it or not, by an Austin jury, despite the lack of justice and the lack of a fair trial in any way, shape, or form. And it's just a fantastic victory. You're going to hear all about it next Tuesday. So do not miss At the Court with Walker Wildman and Rick Green next Tuesday. I'll be sharing. Joey Lynn will be on, and we'll be telling that story. Thanks so much for listening to At the Court with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
Preborn celebrates that Roe versus Wade has been overturned. Roe has been responsible for the slaughter of over 63 million babies. Now the decision to abort a child will be left in the hands of the states, and sadly, abortions will continue in the most liberal states. Over the past 16 years, Preborn has positioned their clinics in the top abortion cities where 50% of abortions occur. Preborn's work of saving babies' lives continues at an even greater level as they save babies' lives and defend their centers from the radical hate groups who want to shut them down. Preborn's response is dependent on you, the pro-life community. Be a part of rescuing lives and changing hearts for Christ. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 will help to rescue five babies' lives. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com. All gifts are tax deductible.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.